Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 Jesuíf Commander Q.
So this is pretty people area. I get a kick out of that phrase. Pretty people with cell phones. Mexican food places seem to be late night popular treats. Who the fuck would want to eat Mexican food at 4 in the morning? I guess I just haven't adjusted to that one. I'll say one thing for the nice Midwest. They don't fucking stop for you if you're crossing in the middle of the street. It's one thing they don't do. In Boston, you're motherfuckers, but they'll almost always defer to a person if they see him. I think it's out of some kind of selfishness, basically. Hit person, get in trouble, rates go up. Maybe that's the meaner parts. Anyway, I'm now off of Lincoln? Passing by the Bourgeois Pig Cafe, whose tuna sandwich really fucking sucks. Ugh. At least the one I had. Soggy as all shit. I should have just ordered tuna, mayonnaise, and provolone. Melted on toasted bread. Well, I made it. I did it. And it wasn't as many blocks as I feared. It was 14 blocks. It was not 20. Or 18. So, I learned. I know. Think next time I'll have a place to stay? Well, I might. in front of Brooke. I haven't fucked things up with her. And she's going to be roommates with Rebecca. Isn't that hilarious? But I've been good, and I'm going to be good. Because bad, or whatever, 30 guy, gained me nothing. It gave me trouble, over and over. Bad reputation. And, not because I actually bedded anybody down, or even really met anybody. I've never met any of the girls I had crushes on, except that girl Lauren who lives in New Jersey. Never met Rebecca, never met Lauren, never met Samantha, never met Hannah. Just pathetic, really. So what I've learned is it doesn't work. No matter what you say, you haven't met, it adds up to nothing. By the way, I hope I'm not locked out of my room again. I hope they learned from last night that I might come in at 4:30. But I'm gonna sure as fuck pound the door if it's not open. Well, it's been a hell of a fucking day. Glad it's over. In that, I'm glad that I'm nearing West Arlington Place, 616 main level, door 4. God, I'm tired. Tired and damp. I don't think this rain did a bit to cool shit down. I think it was just a fucking middle of the night aggravation. So tomorrow I begin the process of deconstructing the effort that it took me to get here. Cab. I took a cab last night, not tonight. Especially after that $20 ride from the black place to the jam band place. Only so much money I can spend in cabs. Yep, tomorrow I'm gonna do what was done, what was prepared. Well, it's time to go back. I did all right. That's all I can say. I did all right. It was hard. But I did it. Well, I've done it. Once I get on the plane safely back to Boston, Hartford, rather. But still. Still. Didn't read any poetry, but that was more by my own choice than anything else. Alright. I'm pulling up of Arlington House. I think I'm gonna leave this on just in case.
Sure, I'll go one more speed. I'm not a bit, but Tim McFayman's there, show you back in.
Hi.
I made it. Smelling us.
I'm putting myself looking at this. The light bulb. Perhaps this doesn't make it to the highlights, dude.
Sunday, June 11th, 2000, 12:30 p.m. on board the Red Lion, CTA. I just wanted to get the sounds of the train a little bit.
This is Washington. Transfer to Blue Line, Metro, and South Shore trains at Washington. This is a Red Line train to
Washington. Yeah, one day at work, he dropped it.
He dropped?
Yeah, he dropped it. I already said good to take phones.
Doors closed. Monroe is next. Doors open on the left at Monroe.
Did you hear this new system?
On radios.
Well, they're announcing the stops.
Right.
You can hear from out of town. You can't hear from out of town.
No. Right.
We don't get it.
Why don't you take this off the place?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I owe you, right? But,
what?
I'm not getting back in the round.
Right. Oh, yeah.
This is my room.
I know, I thought we were here.
Doors closed. Jackson is next. Doors open on the left at Jackson.
For the first time out,
transfer to room on trains at Jackson. This is Jackson. Transfer to Blue trains at Jackson. This is a red line train to
95th.
It's about 6:15 p.m. I'm at the state/lake CTA platform. Something good will come of that. Well, I think the orange line's coming now. So, anyway, this is the end of Chicago for me. The rest of it's airports, which are not really cities. They're sort of places to themselves. So, more later.
36X with Commander Q.
36X with Commander Q.
36X with Commander Q.
On Spirit and on Radio. On Podcast. Broadcast the world.
36X with Commander Q.
On Radio.com.
In my, in the shoreline, the cold and
Jobless.
But I do feel like I'm developing really strong sympathy.
It was the same conversation on him when she was critical of him. Same leaning at him.
I still have a lot to learn about him.
Good
point.
I want
to get hurt.
Tara Downing has always been on my list. It's something that I haven't done before. Otherwise, I definitely think I'm just eager to planning.
Cheers to our honey who getting to know each other on a different level and think of them.
It is Saturday, January 29th, 2022 at 12:10 a.m., Bungalow C, dining room, Driftwood Table, Melrose, Massachusetts, Voice Journal of Raymond Sular Jr., volume number 246, What's interesting about this voice journal, I will say in brief at this time, is that after many years of the voice journal being exclusively devoted to telling the creature tale, or recording the creature tale, excuse me, I've decided, because I've been listening to the original voice journals from back in 1990-2001, that I want to continue that kind of occasional talking here and there, recording sounds and so on and so forth, in alternation with the tapes that contain the telling of the creature tale. This volume began strangely, but somewhat appropriately, with a audio passage from the episode we saw tonight of Married at First Sight, an evil show on the television that is evil. Not the television, but it is an evil show on the television. And so I just wanted to get a little audio passage of that to begin this part of the series, and to remind myself of how I used to record things randomly off the TV back when. So this has thus begun on this spiffy Retekess, Retekess, TR-606 AM-FM cassette recorder. This will be the one that does these tapes in alternation with the tape player recorder upstairs that does the creature tales tapes. So they'll alternate volume numbers in the sequence ongoingly. That's it of this for now. Good night. All right. It is Monday, January 31st, 2022, at about 12:40 p.m. I'm walking down Derby Road in the remarkably bright sunshine. I probably should have my goggles on for future walks like this with said sunshine. So it's in the middle of my work day, but it occurred to me that when I did this voice journal project back when, originally, well, two things were true, both relevant here. First thing that was true was that I bought my first voice recorder, cassette recorder, because I was going to Burning Man in 1999 and I wanted to record the process of getting ready to go there and traveling there and being there. And so that was the motivation. And interestingly, I'm getting ready with Cassie to go to Burning Man 2022 if all works out. There's just every last detail in the world to be accounted for at this point, but it is happening after a two-year layoff due to the COVID pandemic, which is something I could not have imagined back when. Anybody else could have imagined back when. Anyhow, so that's one thing. The other thing is that when I came back from Burning Man, I recorded so many tapes on the voice recorder at the time that I just decided I liked doing it, and I would often do it walking up and down Canal Street from my home in Malden on Newman Road to the train station in Malden Center. And I've been listening to those old tapes, and part of putting them on the 36X with Commander Q program on Spirit Plants Radio. And I mean, there are some times when I'm recording travels or places other than walking up and down that street to and from home / train of the time. But awful lot of them were that stretch of time, about 20-minute walk it was, as I recall. And since I couldn't write, except if I stopped for a few minutes, but for the most part I was walking up and down, and so the voice journal idea worked perfectly for that purpose, and inspired me really to want to do it again, to get into the longer sense of things. I basically did that voice journal as this voice journal in volumes as it was begun for about 2 years. It was something I started in 99, and I think it was in early August, because I went to Burning Man in late 99. And then for a couple of years thereafter, basically the last couple of years I lived in Boston, I just kept recording this and that, many of those walks and concerts and occasionally a conversation with someone or whatever. And then I think there were maybe a couple of tapes along the way elsewise. I think I still had the recorder, I just didn't seem to use it very much anymore. I recall that the one time that Lisa Zent and I were in Portland together for a day, we were sitting on a certain, like on the steps of a certain street corner there, and I was recording our conversation. So I must have had my tape player with me to record that conversation. I didn't have anything else to do so. Honestly, I didn't. Aside from those sporadic ones, it was basically August of 99 till about August of 2001. And it was Burning Man 2001 where the series thereafter kind of petered out. I kind of lost enthusiasm for it or whatever. It was always a matter of having the machine, having cassettes, and having batteries. And I don't know, I maybe just... maybe the machine I had broke. And there's all sorts of different reasons, but it came and went. And then it was, so it was about 10 years later, interestingly, that I decided to start it up again. It was around the time that Cassie and I, who had met in 2003 and married in 2005 and were living in Seattle and Portland, Oregon, till 2010, we moved to Boston, back to Boston for me, to Boston for her, being from Colorado. And I was once again in possession of all my things, including my bins of cassettes of many kinds, Jellicle Guild recordings, and tapes, and voice journal tapes. And I decided I'd enjoyed the project, and I started it up again, which is really, really fun. I had to get a new tape player, but I did. And I think for a while I was using it in the old way. I think I was biking and using it to some degree. But then an entirely different approach to it presented itself, which was to nightly record the Traveler's Tale, aka The Creature's Tale, that I tell 5 nights a week at home. When we lived out in Portland, and then it continued when we moved to Arlington, Mass, and continued again to Melrose, where I now live. I just found that that's what I enjoy doing. I still enjoy doing it. I mean, I did it as recently as last Friday, and I'll be doing it tonight. That's been about 10 years of that, and still running. But what happened was, I sometimes think things will circle back around. I started up the 36X with Commander Q program, and I decided to build it around my own voice journal tapes. Each episode has approximately a tape/volumes worth of content, and then I fill it up with other things to bring up to 2 hours. And listening to those old tapes, I was reminded of the fact that I enjoyed them. And I enjoyed them as I originally did them. And so I thought, well, if I'm really serious about this, maybe what I need to do is kind of have two streams alternating in a way. The tape player that records the creature tale is a little bit of a fragile one. I've had it for many years now. I think keeping it just right where it is a good thing. And doing what it does. But then I thought, well, I'll get another one of these tape recorders, and I'll do the classic voice journal, walking, recording random stuff, as I did with the Married at First Sight piece, which started this volume. And just do that as well, and they'll alternate in volume number. So I think that really makes it so I get to do all of the things that have been part of this concurrently, which has never been true. Just alternating volumes of two tape players, not one. So that's a nice brief summary of where it's been and where it is and where it's going. It's funny that the original voice journal tapes are about 50 of them approximately. They were recorded entirely during the time I was still living in Malden, Massachusetts. And I left there, moved out west in 2002. And was out west for most of a year, chasing after the aforementioned Zalitha. And that really went bad. I mean, it really was awful. That part of living out there otherwise, there were some good things to it. Both those cities are beautiful. North Pacific Northwest is beautiful. I did have some other friends that were okay. I wrote a whole heck of a lot, because that's mostly what I had to do, and that was just fine. I wrote a lot, and what I wrote, especially the poetry and to some degree the fiction, that's just stuff from that period of time that stays of value to me now. So it was worth doing it. I wanted to live out west. I lived out west, and even though it wasn't ideal, and it was only happy at moments, nonetheless, I did it, and then it kind of went bad enough that I had to flip back to Connecticut in 2003. I had not lived in Connecticut for 11 years at that time. I stayed with my old friend Jerry Dillon for a year. Very kindly was willing to put me up in an extra bedroom of his. And and then I met Cassie along the way, and she was in out west. She's from Holyoke, Colorado, and she went to school. Her first year in college was in Omaha, Nebraska, and we met out in Omaha, and we decided we were going to be together for the long haul, and we ended up marrying after we moved out to Seattle together. She went to school out there, and then we moved down to Portland, and they kind of ran into the same thing with jobs, economy, and so came back to Boston and managed to sort of find solid footing again here. And funniness of funniness, ended up living in Melrose, a town over from Malden, where I was living when this particular project began in 1989. So I could see the funny possibility of even sometime walking down Canal Street with this tape player and recording it like old and talking about the sicknesses and differences of things. So that's how I ended up being 23 years later, 22 and a half years later, once again doing this flavor of Voice Journal, and doing it merely one town over from where I did originally. And I realized that walking around the block here, walking from Newman Road, where we live, where we've lived since 2013, up to Main Street, almost, and then I'm about to make that turn onto West Wyoming Avenue, and then down back to Newman Road, I guess, which isn't Newman Road. Derby Road, excuse me. Derby Road is where we live now. Newman Road is not Malden back then. So, right, and so we'll be turning on Newman Road, except it's not. It's Waverly that becomes Newman Road. Waverly Place that becomes Newman Road. One becomes the other at like a sort of a bend in the shared road. The name changes for some reason. And so I thought, oh, well, this will be fun. Because this walk around the block is, I don't know, maybe about 10 or 15 minutes. Sure, my pleasure. You got a lot of bags. So anyway, that kind of sums it up sufficiently, I think. This past weekend, which is why I'm walking through shovel but clear, I'm walking among piles and piles of snow on the cleared sidewalk. It's like about up to my knee at some point in terms of having been shoveled to one side or another of the sidewalk. But it was upwards 2-3 feet in the general area. I think this area got somewhere toward a couple feet of snow. Various noises and people as they walk along. But I thought, okay, so middle of the day, I essentially walk around the block. And I walk down to where Derby Road ends. I think it becomes something else at the left-hand turn up to the National Guard. Hits Main Street, walk down Main Street, come back, West Wyoming, and turn and turn, and then Waverly, and then Newman again. Derby again. I've been working for over a year as a technical writer at Ginkgo Bioworks in Boston, which is a synthetic biology company. I've been in contract there since October 2020, which was deep in the first 6 months of the pandemic. I am in the process of getting hired full-time there as a senior technical writer. Doing the same thing, but full-time. The street on the sidewalk, as long as the sidewalk's cleared, it's a good job. It pays really well. I work with good people. I do good work. And, I think the stability that I'm
been establishing is helping me to decide that my pretty long-term desire to return to Varinia can now be afforded in terms of time off and money and all that kind of stuff. And Cassie decided she wanted to go with me, which is really exciting. We were gonna fly out west and then do the Green Tortoise Camp. Lucky the first year I went with her in 2004, but they don't go to Burning Man anymore because apparently they don't allow such camps anymore. What is derisively called plug and play camps. Given all the different kinds of stuff they have there, it's amazing to me that they would ban any kind of camp. But there it is. So, in terms of the Burning Man part of this tape talking, paralleling 99, I went to Firefly in 2016. No, I went up to Burning Man and kept going up to 2009. So, from the last, pretty much the last of these tapes to now, of this kind, there was a long time when I went year after year after year. And then there's a long time when I didn't go. Then to help create a whole slew of books, bring the New Borders Bookstore, revive it again, first time in 7 years. But it's been now a while making the next move, and that is in part because of the pandemic. There was no Burning Man on the fly in 2020 and 2021, so there wasn't a possibility of going either year. This year, it's happening again, which is really good news. And so it's time to go. We're gonna do our book preparation and packing. We're gonna take a plane out to probably Reno, but I have to find this because at Reno there's probably a Burning Man Express that drives from Reno to Black Rock City. And if that's true, that's good. But then we need a camp to stay at because we need a place, we need a camp to be part of where we can pay for food and water that other people bring. So, it's a long road there. Every year's a little different. This year's different from all the others, and it's different still because we're coming from Boston together. I went to Burning Man by myself from Boston the first several years, but, Cassie and I are doing it together. We're not driving Sid this time. And we're not doing Green Tortoise, so there's always a little variations. And also, we're some years older. But honestly, that's not going to trouble me so much. But, you know, that's the least thing to mull on compared to all these other things where, you know, logistics. At this point, logistics are the thing. Maybe other things more philosophical in nature for later times when the logistics have been dealt with. Alright, so that was my walk and catch up and accounting for. And I hope to do this on a daily basis. I don't know if I will, but between the last entry and this one, it's fully begun, and we'll see how it goes here.
36X with Commander Q.
36X with Commander Q.
36X with Commander Q.
Un spirit long radio.
Remember the starlight, the cold and
It's 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 Tuesday, February 1st, 2022 at 10:16 a.m. Bungalow C. Dining room. I'm standing at the Driftwood table in front of the Eurydice Tower, as I call it, which is a standing desk upon which I put Eurydice in my work MacBook Pro for working. Funnily enough, I have, and will sound in the background of this talking, volume 26 of this voice journal from back in 2000. Back in, it was June 10th, 2000. It's music. I don't know if it comes through as music very well because it's recorded from the audience of a show, the Umphrey's McGee Show, June 10th, 2000, out in Chicago, Illinois. I just thought it'd be funny to have it in the background, one voice journal audio in the background of another voice journal volume. And Cassie's gone off to Triangle Inc., where she works. She needs to get a COVID test in order to go back next week to, she needs to, re-up her, what do you call it, CPR training. I think you need to do that once a year. And, so, in order to do that, she has to have a COVID test and test clear. So she's going in this week to do that. And she shouldn't be gone long, but I figured, okay, I'll take advantage of this by playing the music out loud and talking to this machine that I'm still being used to talking into. Class was talking into regularly. And like I said already, I was in an apartment that I could walk to from there. So it's funny to be like about an hour walk, shorter by bike or whatever. But you also be walking into the past. I'm not convinced I'm not going to do that at any particular point. So I found out the major Boston camp is called the Boston Hive at Burning Man. And they have a trucking service they use to deliver people's stuff there, which I think would be terrific. I'd love to get our bikes there by that way, but I don't think that I would trust it. I don't think I would possibly trust having my bike on some unknown truck traveling the country and with the possibility of being lost, at least. The first time. Maybe if I go in the future by myself. Who knows? But this year the point is to get there and see what that's like after all this time. Rather than to go overboard with too many ambitious plans. The reason I have this voice journal audio recording recording playing is because it's going to be episode 26 of the radio show 36X with Commander Q, which is my show under this funny DJ name I've been carrying around in my writing for years and years and years. I think it started in Bag's End. It's a play on the character Sergeant X in For Esme with Love and Squalor by J.D. Salinger, Sergeant X, Commander Q. But then last year I decided to up the game and actually have a show with that name, that fictional DJ name, becoming the pseudonym of me, host of an actual radio show. Funny thing. And the basis of the radio show, as I said yesterday, was that I decided to digitize all my, or maybe there's more details, I decided to digitize all my voice journal tapes so I'd have access to them. And then I decided, maybe part and parcel with that, well, why don't I just use these? Well, I mean, and maybe it had to do with the fact that the tapes early on were about going to Burning Man, and I know I'm going to Burning Man again in my mind. I don't know. I also digitized my Within shows from back in that same period, 99-02. I digitized them, so eventually they're going to go up on my radio show archives online. I don't think I had, I'm fairly positive I didn't have anything of the sort when I was recording these tapes back when. So, that's kind of neat. I did 112 shows, Radio Free Cambridge and Ulster Bright Free Radio, and I think I got 100 of them cleanly done. 12 of them have fixes that need to be made. So that's still pending. But anyway, so this episode of Commander Q's 36X, number 26, the length of it is the show, which I recorded. I was there. I was in Chicago at that show because there was a girl I knew at the Land's End Fish Chat at the time named Rebecca, who I shared some kind of romantic connection with in chat, and we decided to meet. It didn't work out. She was in that same room. She was at that same show. I was there. She was there. But there were no cell phones and things back then, and I probably didn't have a number to call her by, so we never actually met. She didn't believe I came. I did. I told her details about that night and that show that I could not have known otherwise. But I think the sad thing was that, like, by the time we had that conversation after I was back in Boston, she was going on a fish tour the next day. I'm fairly certain we lost touch of each other after that. So that's a funny backstory to this, me being at the show. I did things like that back then because I was a lonely man and I wanted a girlfriend, and I had a hard time finding one in Boston. Really, anyway. And anyway, the tricky thing about this is that I don't think this is all that listenable. Because I'm not standing near the stage and I'm not using any kind of professional equipment. I'm just dancing around probably near the back of the row, and tape recorders in my pocket or something. It's doing its best. I mean, it is recording the music.
but the quality's not that good. So I have this show that I got. I also have this show, the full of it. I only recorded like some of the first set of it on my tape player, but I have the entire show, 2.5 hours, that I got from archive.org, or I'm sorry, Internet Archive, online archive.org, I think it's called. Anyway, I'm trying to figure out, like, so first of all, the Commander Q show is 2.5 hours long, which is longer than the 36. The Umphrey's McGee show is 2.5 hours long. The Commander Q show, each episode is 2 hours long. So that's one quandary. But I think I can divide it between two episodes. The other quandary is I have this actual, my recording of this, and this is the theme of the show, or whatever, the basis of the show. So I was thinking, well, maybe what I do is I sort of mix the two. I don't know how that would sound, but but that's my thought on it, and I haven't really tried it yet, so. I suppose thinking about it would make more sense for me to assemble the show, which I just turned it off. Because if I'm going to mix it, then the other part of this is that the show is also going to be featured on Long Live Rock, another radio show on Spirit Fans Radio that comes every episode, every weekend, for the weekend shows. So it make more sense if I was listening to that and not. Because if I listen to it, then it counts for that show, then the amount of content is heard. And then I figure out a way to mix it into the 36X show as well. On my work computer, I'm working on many things, I'm on the verge of getting full-time employment, but I haven't yet gotten it, and so I'm just kind of like, I'm working on multiple projects as I do. Still contracting, but just waiting for full time to happen, because I think when I'm full time, I'll have access to things I don't have access to now. So I'm still feeling like I'm not yet where I should be with this. Because I only have a contractor's access to stuff. Meetings, Slack channels, information. And I would very much like more. Like that. I played this. Play this on VLC. I'm using these tiny little Sony head speakers, plastic Sony speakers I've had for a long time. just to have this music in the background, it's kind of funny. So now I'm playing the actual show, and I think it'll be a lot more... There we go. So, I always seem to have many things going on at the same time with my job, at like multiple projects, and sometimes, I mean, that's usually good, but I'll admit that sometimes I feel like I just gotta, like, get my shit focused on the whole range of stuff, and, it can be, it can be a challenge, because I'm dealing with a company that does synthetic biology. This is not easy stuff to understand just on the fly. I've been at this company for 15 months, and there's still, for me, a lot of it I don't understand. And I generally take the rule that I don't really need to understand everything on a given job. So, finding that line is the key, that's where the challenge is. And the thing that is, I'm also working on radio at the same time, hence the music that's on. Usually it's on my headphones, but 13 and a half hours of content every weekend, plus my three-hour live show, which is now on Saturday nights again, and then the Cenacle, which the December issue is done except for the Gelfield audio, which I haven't finished editing. Close but not done, which seems to be my motto most of the time with things. And then, by the way, there's my writing. Then there's my writing, which sometimes gets the short shrift with all this and sometimes doesn't. I'm always sort of arcing back toward it when I'm not actually there. It's, Anyway, so if I add it up, it's like trying to figure out work and do it well, trying to do radio, trying to do this animal. I'm trying to write. I'm Cassie. So those are the big things. Cassie's probably the easiest of them, honestly, because she is very emotionally even minded and hearted, and she just likes attention and stuff like that, as anybody would. I mean, she's just not high maintenance lunatics like some I've known. But still, she's not to be taken for granted simply because she's not a lunatic, but I'm just appreciating the fact that she's not. My goal, beyond goals. Oh, there she is. I will be back later. All right, it's still Tuesday, February 1st, 2022. It's about 12:35 p.m. I'm again walking along Derby Road, doing my lunchtime round the block circuit with this tape player, tape recorder. So for lunch, which Cassie and I have had together since pandemic started, basically, especially since I started at Ginkgo, so it's been over a year. Currently we're watching Search Party, which was a show that we've watched before on TBS. Just put out its fourth season. I'm not even sure what network it's on anymore, but I convinced her to let us watch it from season one on, because it's very richly detailed and it's a complex murder mystery which becomes other things as time goes on. Very interesting and enjoyable, and we're watching it lunchtime and also in the evening time, so twice a day, which is good for watching something we've seen before. Hello. Evening times, currently we've been watching Expanse Monday through Wednesday, rewatching it in anticipation of watching its sixth and final season. On Thursday, we're watching Walking Dead. And after those shows, which we watch at 8, at 9, we watch The Rachel Maddow Show. We've been watching her for the past couple of years since the pandemic and racial justice demonstrations of 2020. She's actually going on hiatus at the end of this week for 6-8 weeks, but she's been on at 9 and for a couple more days, and then at 9:30 we watched something else. For a year or so we were watching all of Ken Burns' documentaries from 1981 Brooklyn Bridge all the way up to 4 years later, Muhammad Ali, his most recent one. All of them great, all of them delightful. So we finished those, and now we're watching Church Party twice a day for as long as that run goes. And then I also eat for lunch a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, peanuts, protein bar, and a little beef jerky. That kind of sums up how my lunch goes. Oh, we've also been reading a biography of B.P. Nichol, the poet we first discovered because he wrote episodes of Fraggle Rock. It's interesting that, thinking about it, it's like I said some stuff back in 2011 when I kind of revived this Voice Journal after 10 years, but there's like just so many things that were not yet true in 2011. We weren't living in Nauros. I wasn't working where I'm working, so it's kind of like, even from 2011, I kind of have to catch up this angle of the Voice Journal. Because from a certain point on, in 2012 really, the volumes became devoted to the creature tale. And it's funny doing both of them. I suppose I could have simply decided to alternate between the stuff and the creature tale on the same tape player, but I just didn't want to do that. It's just like they seem like two different streams of the same project, and so alternating volumes has proved to be a good choice. Snow hasn't melted at all. It's sort of gotten warmer and colder, and so there's a little bit of more ice on the ground than there was, but so far I haven't hit anything scary. So the part of the thrust of doing this is recording Burning Man efforts. So the five parts of the effort are, or maybe six parts, I don't know. I guess the part one in a way, is getting tickets. That could be easy, that could be hard. We decided we're not going to get the high-priced patron tickets that are like $1,500 each. We're going to wait till March, get the ones that are like $400 or $500. That's still a lot of money. Also, by then, hopefully, I'll figure out another one of the parts, which is where we're going to camp. So it's like tickets, and then we're going to fly somewhere, probably to Reno, to get the Burners Express bus to Black Rock City. And then there's a question of where we're going to camp. And then there's the question of getting the bookstore into center camp. And I started that again. I was in touch with someone many months ago, and written a couple of times since and haven't gotten any replies. So I may have to find someone to be in touch with. So it's plane tickets, event tickets, plane tickets, travel west, travel to Black Rock City, camping location with food and water accounted for, and bookstore location. Six main things, and that's, and then there's the, you know, packing and preparing and all that, the printing of books and whatever we have to bring. So it's all kind of gathered on the table. I have come to this point before sometimes, you know, within range of it. I almost went to Firefly for several years in a row, and then they finally went. So I've been slow to do this. I don't know if it'll be a one-time thing. It might be a one-time thing for Cassie. I don't know. It might be a one-time thing for me. I also don't know that. And it might not happen at all. I'm allowing, in my mind, my thinking about it, I should say, all of these things to be part of the deal. I just, I can't commit myself to the solid fact of going at this point because of all these different pieces that need to fall into place. And they're all important. They're all important. But none of them are less important than any of the others. So it's, that's what it is. And I feel like even though I've gotten reasonably along in the books, because I've been kind of working on them on and off for a while, some of them are less, the new ones, the new version of the book, some of them are just simply less realized than others. The George MacDonald book is probably going to be the golden key. It could possibly be other stories, but it could possibly simply be the golden key. And it's such a perfect story and such an encapsulation of his work that I wouldn't necessarily think that it was not sufficient. Kind of like Fires Me with Love and Squalor for Salinger and some other examples of being able to pluck something out of the larger body of work that just really shows how good a particular artist is, and just captures them at one of their peak moments, one of many. The Sherlock Holmes one, I'm not sure on. I read one story on my radio show, which I really loved, like The Adventure of the Speckled Band. And I'm not sure if it would be that and several others, or what. I honestly don't know. So that's unfinished. The Lucy volume is, that's more finished than not. I have too many pieces for that. I'm not positive that it settled for sure on the final six, but I have more than enough. It's just a matter of deciding. So that's one of the further along ones. The 60s reader is one I've struggled with for a while. I feel like whatever six pieces I choose, it won't be enough. Maybe I should think of that as like a volume one as well. That might take a little of the pressure off to try to sample a whole amazing time in six short pieces. That's that one. And there's a couple more that are not ringing a bell in my mind right now, but the bottom line is that they're not done. They're not ready. The content is not chosen. It shouldn't be hard to actually make them, but they're not ready to be made. It would certainly be nice if I actually were to go through all the books. I encountered numerous errors in them over time. It would be nice to just decide to clean them all up, you know, for a new appearance. It may or may not happen. I'm not saying it needs to happen. We certainly have a ton of books that are already made. They're in the attic and crates. It'd be good to account for that. So it's a lot of work, and I don't feel like I did in 99 where I didn't know anything. I don't feel that kind of excitement, nor that kind of fear. And I don't feel like I did in the early years where I was just obsessed with it all. And undoubtedly going without even thinking twice. But I don't feel like I did in 2009 when I went in August of 2009, I was employed, I believe, but I was kind of burned out on everything, and it's just time to move, and move we did. So I just feel the uncertainty of not having done it in such a long time. That's what it comes down to. I mean, 2016 proved that I could do it, at least on a very much more modest scale, even injured. Which is good. But what that means overall, I mean, the Vermont woods is not the Black Ark Desert. Vermont woods is a few hours drive from here. Black Ark Desert is on the other side of the country from here. And so there's a lot more complication to it. Also, I had no history with Firefly. I was just happy to be able to get there. That was good. Good, how are you? So, anyway, it's a big deal, and I have a lot of history with all this. Also bringing Cassie, I have to concern myself with her physical health, her mental well-being, stress and strain it puts on her. She decided to go probably because she wanted to make sure that I would have a successful time and not be going alone, which was very kind and loving of her. And we're going to go Wednesday to Saturday, so we're not going to go the full end-to-end. But still, I mean, several days out in the hot desert for her with her MS is... that's not a... not an easy thing to do. And the thing that will make it easier is for me to find us a camp that accommodates for us paying for others bringing food and water that we participate in. And that'll be a big deal because she won't have to worry about that. So I found out that the Boston people go, the majority of them go with a camp called Boston Hive. And probably what the Firefly people did in 2016 that they were talking about then. Probably been doing ever since. I just need to, I need to find my way into that some more and see what the details of it are. I know that they have trucking containers they bring. They have drive to right to the camp, BRC. And that's super exciting. That's the way to get our stuff there. A little stress. Still, I haven't nailed that down. So I'm working on it all. I'm working on it all day by day. I'm in touch with people, reaching out, trying to find information, trying to get myself going. And mostly, I've got to get the fucking Jellicle Guild audio associated with the December Cynical done. I finished Labyrinthine this morning. I have two more pieces to go through, hardcore, and then the field strip, which only is one piece that needs any kind of work on it. I think that getting that done will be an enormous relief. It's all work, it's all hard work, and I'm doing the best with it. I have meetings top of the hour, it's near one right now as I'm pushing home, and I have meetings from 1 to 2:30. So be good. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. Good to be doing this again. Good to be just finding room to do it. I guess the moments are always there. I just didn't think about them as being moments that were always there. But part of the reason I'm doing this walk is to do this tape playing. It's also getting in a mile's worth of walking. Now 2 days running. So. That's eating in my not doing very good with the steps for quite some time. This is definitely helping. 2,000 steps. Just merely this one walk. Talking to the tape player. Rattling on. It's good. Helps, ends up think I've made it just about to the door without slipping. These steps which have some ice on them on the outside. Careful, careful. Okay. More.
36 X with Commander Q.
36 X e fica menda
Okay, it is Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022, at about 12:45 p.m. I'm walking along Derby Road in Melrose, Massachusetts, essentially leaving 122 Derby Road where Cassie and I live, and making my lunchtime walk around the block, which I've been doing this week. Been a nice thing to do. And getting back into recording on this Voice Journal series. The Voice Journal Classic volumes have resumed. They weren't even known at the time because they were all they were. But here they are again. Hello. I lived right down there. Doesn't say hello, it's very friendly considering it's a neighborhood. Anyhow, moving along. I woke up this morning thinking to myself of a way to evolve my way of perceiving my Voice Journal and the Commander Q program and all, just sort of a way to kind of pull them all together. And I was thinking that since I'm recording these new entries, I should be, they should go into 36X as well. That's what they should do. So that's how they should do it. They should go into 36X as well. And I should mix them with the old entries, and I should mix them somehow with the entries that began
back around 2012 when I started recording the Creature Tale on tape. I'd actually been telling it for several years before that without recording it, just writing it down. But then I started recording it on tape, which I think was a great deal more help. And I've been recording those tapes now for over 10 years and never done anything with them. And when I thought about doing something with them, I was flummoxed by what? I mean, like, I don't necessarily think I want to play them through just fully. They feel like they should be edited. And that in editing them, I'd be able to solidify the creature tale from the variations that occur during the course of a week when I'm telling a story orally. Just sometimes I don't remember all the details from the accumulating nights during the Monday through Thursday telling. And it's like, I feel like I want to like finally get that together. And then it occurred to me, okay, so this is like three parts. It's three things. And the third thing is even more than I originally thought about. So I have, from the classic period of recording these tapes, I recorded them, about 50 of them, between 99 and 2001, right? But I was also thinking that I have lots of other tapes that I recorded going back far before 99, as a matter of fact, going back to, I don't know, basically the mid-80s, more or less. And I've never known what to do with them. I made a lot of tape collages back then with my friend Mark Bergeron and on my own. And there were other one-off tapes that I did. Sometimes I had a visit with different people and recorded the visit. And I just have a lot of tapes. And this project feels like what could take advantage of the fact of those tapes and actually allow me to revisit them and share them to some degree. Make them part of my current work. I mean, why else would I listen to them, or what time would I have available to listen to them if they weren't part of the radio? Maybe that's some of the motivation, just being able to listen to them again and get them into a current work. I think that really is a good idea, and it gives justification for me having brought them around all this time. And so that means that the phase one of tapes is the voice journal from back when. Also, other, it's like a time period, not just the tape, that particular series itself. So I think that really, that really works. That really helps. And this came about because of getting this tape player and starting this flavor of voice journal again, and also dealing with the Umphrey's McGee quandary. And it's just all, I just finally thought to myself, well, I have to find a way to braid it all together. And then it occurred to me, okay, so it's basically three things that are kind of divided by time and kind of divided by type. the Voice Journal Now will be here on, it's already begun this week, the alternating tapes between this kind and the Creature Tale kind. And so the Creature Tale kind is kind of like ongoing phase two, and phase three is these new tapes that we'll be talking and recording this, that, and the other thing. And then phase one is more finite in the sense that it's from cassettes from basically, I'd say, maybe 87 to 2003. But that's a lot of tapes, I can tell you. I have a lot. They will supply materials for a long stretch. And so that, and then the show will also have other things in it still, other content of varying unpredictable kinds. So I guess it gives it more structure than it had, or a more elaborate structure than it had, but at the same time, it's good ideas. Good ideas. And so I think that based on that, it's worth well worth going forward with and figuring out how it actually plays out best. So yeah, that's all very interesting. And so this entry is going to be the most recent entry for the next episode of 36X. It's going to be the most recent one. And then I'm going to try and figure out what to do regarding everything else and make sure it adds up to 2 hours. So there's that. Regarding Burning Man, I haven't really moved forward that much. I'm still trying to get a hold of Boston Burners to get a sense of the Boston Hive camp, and I just sort of, because I think about it every day, I try to do something about it every day, but every day's movement varies between something solid and virtually nothing. But the effort has to be there, and overall it'll get there. I was working on the radio today, trying to get it done before the weekend. That includes the Jellyfield audio, which is not yet done, but getting there. The print copies are sorted. They're not double-checked, but they're sorted, and they're a big pile. They need to be double-checked and then binded, and then when I finish the Jellyfield audio and I burned all the discs that go with and labels that goes with each copy, then they'll be ready to package and send out. So, so there's that. I woke this morning thinking about
Matrix Resurrections, which we saw 2 weeks ago on a Saturday at home. And I don't know, it was something about how the within the Matrix there's sort of like a brown sheen to things a little bit, and I was thinking about the tan we get Metopia, and it got me to thinking about Matrix Resurrections basically leaves the story with there being a outside the Matrix place where humans live, Io, with machines that are friendly to them. And then within the Matrix, I guess Neo and Trinity are going to remake it so that it's a, I don't know, less selfish and stupid. It was kind of unclear what their, what they would do that would make it so that it was a better place for humans. I really don't know. I mean, if you're in the Matrix, then you're not physically worrying about, like, climate change and things like that, or maybe the worry is that if the world continues to degrade around you, that you're like asleep or inert in a pod, then if your body goes because the world goes, then the Matrix goes. So I don't know. The more I think about that movie, I don't think it was written as a kind of part one of a new trilogy or part one of anything. It seems to me like it was more written as a coda to the existing trilogy, and I desire to give it all maybe a happier ending than it had had. Because the trilogy ended with things sort of resolved for a moment, but with no certainty they would stay resolved. And so this one seems to definitely go about writing that wrong or writing that back. I don't think they're wrong, but it makes it so that it seems like things are much happier than they were. I mean, Neo and Trinity are both recovered, and they're together, and they both can fly. It's just interesting. It got me thinking about the Tanglegate Mythopoeia in the light of that, and I think that I leave a lot of things ambiguous in the Mythopoeia. In terms of where's and when's, I don't think the Mythopoeia is, I don't think the world that is being described is some kind of, like, this world is a little fictionalized. I think it's not. I think it's a world that resembles this one, but it's not this world. So thus the similarities and thus the differences. But anyway, I've been thinking about, I woke up thinking about that, and I have a lot of work to do to get along toward where I want to get along to, so that means time and focus for ideas that are in hand but not yet played out, and new ideas that have not yet come to generate and make it played through on the page and on the microphone, since some of it's not written down. But the good thing is that the creature tale, which I tell 4 nights a week, almost every week, I mean, like, I take about 2 or 3 weeks off out of the 52 in the year in recent times. So it's been pretty solidly through, and then my dream journal, Dream Rocks, on my radio show, that's been pretty consistent and started up again a couple weeks ago, so the story's moving along one way or another. But with those two, where it's not moving along at the moment is with the written works, the Many Musics, Labyrinthine, and Begs and News. I moved those along, but it's been a little bit of a stretch of time since I did that, so it's time to get back to that. That's my driver. That's my intent. Get back to those, or resume, not get back to them, but to resume them from where they left off, each left off, and push them on forward. I feel like, I almost feel like I have to at this point drop some kind of like chart, some kind of plan of where they're all going, how they all end up in the same place, and at least a hint or clue at what happens next. So it's time needed for that too. Hello. All right, how are you? That's good. So anyway, that is, I think that's enough for now, and I'll be curious to see how this all comes together in total. It will be certainly interesting to see how that occurs, but I think, pretty close to home, I think that's enough for now. Okay, Bungalow C, 12:49 p.m., just a few minutes later, and I just took this tape, and it's pretty much almost out, so I'm wondering if I should just finish it off, and that might be, that'd be a bad idea, but I don't really have anything more to say, so maybe I won't do that. This will just review the next time, and I'll have about 10 minutes to spend on it. Okay.
And then, of course, continued growth in active users. And the last piece with service operations, which will come a little bit later, is really about time of events as services are used, both requested and sort of executed. And so there's a bunch of different types of turnaround time that we want to investigate, some with different sort of audiences. So sort of a customer view of turnaround time, which is sort of the duration between when I submit a request and when I get my results back, for example, versus a processing time, which is the time from an operator picks up work to completes the work, which is more focused on the operator or the foundry audience themselves. So this is an overview of kind of the dimensions that we're thinking about.
It is Monday, February 7th, 2022, at about 12:40 p.m. Walking along Derby Road in Melrose, Massachusetts. Don't have much left on this tape. But gonna finish it off on this time walk. The last little piece of audio that I didn't date was from Friday, the 4th. It was just a little piece of, even from Thursday, February 3rd, excuse me. I recorded just a little piece of a Zoom meeting for my work, like a presentation on some technical thing. I just thought it'd be funny to have a little bit of that captured. I didn't walk that day because I had meetings and just stuff. So, there. That was it. That was that little piece and nothing good sense on this. Senate 118 has been a big focus of mine. The supplementary disc, specifically the Jellicoe Guild audio highlights for the November 6th, 2020 meeting. That was the last piece that needed to be added to those folders so I could burn the disc, 18 of them, 18 copies, and then assemble the 18 print copies to get mailed. It's finally, after way too much work, finally actually happening, which is really a delight. Also on Friday, I finally filled out, it was made available to me, and I filled out the application for the newly created senior technical writer job that I'm going to apply for at my work, and so that's really good too. And then my boss today said he's putting through the last of the steps to get the application to the hiring committee. So it's been a protracted process to get to this point, but it seems like there's only a few steps left to finish it off and to become full time. And I was last full time July of 2019 at ERT, having been there almost 7 years when I was laid off. So this is going to be 2.5 years later, 2.5 years working on contracts in between being unemployed, and half of that now with my work, current work, so that'll be nice in ways I can't even think about because it's not quite done.
I was standing by my window on one cold and cloudy day when I saw thee. Please drive slow, for this body you are holding, Lord, I hate to see her go.
Yes, we saved Kyle.
Will the circle,
nothing else in the future is
be unbroken?
How do you know? Because we're still here. That means Katie still was bummed out. We weren't rich. We still became a scientist. Went back in time and we still made it out.
In the sky.
So then you're stuck here in the past. Take your chance to stop.
Come in, Doc Watson.
I'm sorry, guys.
We reacted like shit because I was scared. You didn't know who to believe.
So we all took different paths. That's what humans do. And what we needed more than anything was to just cut each other off the slack. We needed to come together and act like us again. One unprecedented time.
the sky.